Tonight, every once in a while, we do what we call mini messages, where somebody comes up and speaks about 15 minutes, something on the heart. Recently, Israel did it. Jason did it. And tonight, coming up now, Israel's going to do it again. So y'all welcome him.
That's my brother!
Well, howdy, guys. Glad I can be here with y'all. I won't do that the whole time, I promise. So, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm a little nervous. So I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, thank you for giving us the ability to be here this evening. Thank you that we were adopted into your family. Thank you that we get to worship you. Thank you that we get to come together and learn more about you and offer perspective and be in partnership with you. Because that is what it's about. It's about the relationship with you. And that is such a blessing and such a beautiful thing that we get to be involved in. In Jesus' name, amen. So, recently, I've been thinking a lot about my relationship with God. And specifically, what has worked and hasn't worked for me. Now, again, this varies with everybody because everybody has their own interpersonal relationship with God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But I want to share seven things I like to call the seven B's of chasing the deeper relationship with God, deeper relationship with the Trinity. And just before I go into that, I just want to talk about something about relationship. And I just want to say it's the most wonderful thing that we were invited into when the Lord came and saved us. He came down and he sacrificed himself so that he could restore that relationship. That's why we were created, was to be in that relationship. And the Lord hated being separated from us. And just another little small thing is that I thought was really interesting was that I always think about how Jesus came and suffered and died on that cross, but then I'm also having to think newly about the Father having to watch his Son die. And so there was just agony on all sides on the Trinity with that whole experience. But it was all to bring us back into relationship with him. And so the gifts are a byproduct of that wonderful relationship. The desire to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ, is a byproduct of walking in relationship with Jesus. Everything good about the walk comes from a deep connection with the Trinity. Our jobs, our gifts, our callings, our ministry are all overflow. It's not the main thing. It's the overflow that happens afterwards. And so these seven B's that I want to talk about is something that I've used in my walk as of recently to kind of help keep the romance of the relationship going. And it's something you have to do, and it requires a little bit of discipline. But that helps because passion comes and goes and you'll kind of like go on these like really nice spiritual highs and you'll sink to these lows and you're kind of in this pit. And if you're not careful and if you're not aware of it, then you won't know what to do and you may sit there for longer than you need to. And as a result, just kind of feel a little distant from the Lord, which no one likes to feel. So the first B is to be honest, be real with God and with yourself. The second is to be desperate. And is the fact that, like, this relationship with God is a life and death thing. He gave us life. He's the reason for living. If it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't even be here. So it is a life and death sort of a thing that we are invited into. And then it's to be open. Be open-minded with no expectations of what the Lord will do. And that is not just talking about, like, being open-minded to the gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, but also on the flip side of that, I want to go over here, and if he's like, your job is to do your job to the best of your ability. That's all I want for you. That's my calling on your life. So be open in both directions. If the Lord wants you to do something awesome on this side with the supernatural gifts, which we are all given, fantastic. But also it is just as exciting and just as a blessing if he's telling you to do something completely, as some people would say, normal. But it is just as important for the body of Christ to have those things. So I want to go a little bit deeper into honesty and being honest. And so out of all of these B's, I usually think of this one being the first that anybody has to go through, because this is kind of removing that deceit and distortion that the enemy and our sin nature tends to cloud our minds with. Because the enemy's not going to walk up to you holding chains and say, hey, I want to make you prisoner for the rest of eternity. No, he's going to use sly, evil, manipulative ways, shame, sin nature, lust, stealing, fear, pride. Pride's a big one. That one's been hitting me recently, if I'm being honest. Lord's been humbling. It's been good. And so, again, the deceit and the distortion, they're great distractions that shift us and that keep us from shifting into the reality of the kingdom. So first, we have to have honesty to clear all this stuff out so we can see what we're even looking at, what needs to go, what doesn't need to go. And so I really like, and usually I have a little bit more scripture in my teaching, but it's okay. John 3:20, verse 21. For everyone who does wicked things hate the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And I'm going to be perfectly honest, there's a lot of stuff in my closet that I do not want to look at, that I don't want to show God. And that's because I'm either prideful, I'm scared, or I'm ashamed. And it's a big thing. And honesty is the cure to all of this. Because if we're not honest with God, if we're not willing to get down into the dirty of not just what we've done or what we're experiencing, but how we're feeling about him. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure about you guys, but from time to time, I'm not always 100% in love with him. And it's something that I don't like to say to myself, because then I feel like, oh, I can't say that to God, or I'm being a bad Christian. But if I'm honest and I just bring that before, I'm like, hey, Lord, this is the reality. I don't see your hand in this. I don't see how I can trust you. But be open to the Lord telling you how your reality, how your mindset is wrong, and let him restore it to a kingdom reality. And so what happens when we are honest with God, clarity comes. The situations that maybe we didn't have answers to before, they start appearing. You see how inadequate you really are, and the pride starts to fall away. And you start humbling yourself. And you can not just talk to God, but you can talk to a brother that you weren't able to talk to about this before because you didn't want them to know that you were struggling with it. And it opens more avenues for the Lord to talk to you, not just through scripture, not just through prayer, but through your brothers and sisters in Christ, through this community that we have together. And we see how little we control, and there is so much in our lives that we try to hold on to, and it's just adding more and more stress, trying to hold here. You know, it's frustrating, and it freaks you out. But if you're going to be honest, okay, God, I can't control all these things. I'm going to need you to step in and do it, and he's going to show you how. He's going to show you how he's going to step in. He's going to bring people into your life. And honesty does so much, because if you can just be honest and say, I need help, then he wants to help you. And also, honesty will show you how much, and I think I touched on this a little bit, how much you still haven't given him. There's a lot of parts of my life that I still have yet to fully let go of and give it to him. And just in a moment of transparency, who am I going to marry? Who's going to be my wife? Lord, I give you this. You know, I just can't let go of it. And it's something that I'm really struggling with. And I'm trying to figure out the reason why. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. And I've had the pleasure of getting to talk with David and Courtney a few times. And I think we've brushed up on this a couple times in our conversations. And they were able to give me some really good pointers on things to do, some prayer points. But again, I had to be honest about that first and realize that I don't want to let go of this because I don't trust God with this. And then I was able to let him come in and then again say, okay, this is how you're looking at it. This is how it really is. I'm preparing her. It may not just be about you. It's work that I'm doing in her for you. It's work that I'm doing in you for her. There are things that I'm trying to set up to set you up the best way that you could possibly be. And so I also already touched on this, but I want to just say it again and go a little bit deeper. There are three main things that I also like to say keep us, or that are the things that are the most resistant to us being honest, which is pride, which is the saying or the feeling that I can do it all. I can handle it. I don't have to talk about it. I can carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. And the longer you think like that, I've seen it personally in my life with some people that I'm very close with. It's crushed them. It's brought what they thought they were at the top of the world down to the lowest depths pretty much. Unfortunately, Jason's been involved in that, and so also I'm going to say if you guys could be praying for our work, Rick Worley and Son. It's just going through a hard time right now. But again, at the root of that, at the root of that struggle that's just caused this spiraling down is pride, a willingness to say, I can't do it, a willingness to say, I need help. And the second thing is fear. Well, if I talk about this, then what's going to happen? If I confess this, like, where's my life going to end up? Is this person still going to talk to me? Are they not going to talk to me? If I say this about God, is he going to smite me? Is he going to, like, crush me? Is he going to abandon me? There's so much fear that comes into this as well when it comes to being honest. Because if we're honest, and that means that we are exposing the nasty stuff, which we don't want anybody to see. But the cool thing about that is it's very uncomfortable at first, but then it gives us the ability to allow Jesus to wipe that away, take care of it. And yes, it will be extremely uncomfortable for a moment for freedom in the rest of your life. It's worth it. I promise you it is worth it. And the third thing that keeps us from being honest is shame. I don't want to talk about the fact that I have kissed another man. I don't want to talk about the fact that I have done certain things that I wish I hadn't done. I don't want to talk about the fact that I broke a promise to a 12-year-old version of myself who said he would never lose his virginity and then lost it as soon as things got a little too crazy or chaotic or I got angry at my parents. Which is a really stupid reason to do that. And I was so ashamed about those things and I didn't talk about them. But then as soon as recently, within the last year, I got to talk about those things with somebody else and also got to pray about these things in a real way that says, Lord, okay, these things really did happen. I can't ignore them. I can't not talk to you about them. I can't just say that you know it and think that it's taken care of. I got to come to you in conversation and say, okay, what's up? What needs to change? What's not in alignment with you? And it was gut-wrenching, and there was tears, and there was crying and suffering involved. But at the end of it, the Lord said, I'm still looking at you because I love you. I know you've done these things, but I love you. I loved you, and I saved you despite these things that I know that you would already do, because you're right, I did already know that you did that. But you telling me is giving me permission to clean that part of your life up. Is giving me permission to show you where I was in that situation. To show you where I was in your weakness. And to where now you can talk about these things freely, not just to me, but to the people around you, to the person at the diner, to the person in the coffee shop, to the person at work. You can talk about these things freely and openly because you know that I've cleaned it up and it's taken care of. Good. Honesty frees us up so much to do things that we can't otherwise do. And I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room that still has things that we're working on. It's going to be a constant process. It's going to be something that we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives. Because we're human, and there's some things that are harder to let go of than others. But I promise, if you want to get with somebody, if you want to talk to somebody and say, hey, I think there are some things that I've been holding on to that I really don't need to hold on to anymore. Because I've been scared of what's going to happen, who's going to say what, and I'm ashamed that I even did it. But honesty will allow you to do so much more and will allow the Lord to use you in more ways. Because it doesn't just free you in the sense that you can just talk to people, but it frees you and it removes this chain that otherwise kept you kind of stuck in this one place in life. And then all of a sudden, it's crazy. As soon as I start admitting some of this stuff, my life catapults. The Lord will say, okay, we're making up for lost time now. I spent 2.5, almost 3 years in college getting drunk and high and doing all the stupid, you know, classic college frat boy stuff. And I came to the end of that and I was just honest with the Lord and I said, okay, I've screwed up my life, Lord. I don't know how we can fix this. I don't know how I can fix this. He said, I got it covered. He moved me from the Arby's in Ringgold to maybe a mile down the road to a body shop doing a better job where I can progress, where I can do things. And in the same time that I moved to that shop, I met Jason and found a good Christian community of people that my age that I can now talk to and minister to and who's ministered to me. Honesty opens up the Lord to bless your life. It's so important. And so there are a few things that honesty does, and I was Yeah. All right. But don't just take my word for it. I want to talk about one of the disciples that also had to do this at least three times and probably more. Because again, like this whole cycle of having to be honest and desperate and trusting and obedient and thankful and wanting more. I mean, this is a recurring cycle that if we don't continue doing, then we're not going to continue to develop. But anyways, I'm talking about Peter. Again, it happened the first time in Luke 5, 1 through 7, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing because that would take a long time, but this is where the Lord calls him, and he's a fisher at the time. He's been doing this his entire life. He just came back from probably an entire day of doing the thing that he's good at and couldn't do it, and some random dude said, hey, cast your net on the other side of that boat. Watch what happens. I mean, I would have some pride. Just being like, I do this for a living, I'm not listening to you. But he stopped for a second and he said, okay, I'm desperate. I probably need this catch. This is probably how I'm feeding my family. And so, I don't know why, maybe it's the call of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to trust this guy. And he did it, and he was honest. He noticed that he was desperate, and he said, okay, I'm willing to try anything at this point. And he was open-minded, and he was willing to do the weirdest thing. And the Lord gave him more than he could handle. It's awesome. And again, this happens when Peter was called to walk on the water in Matthew 14:22-23. And again, this is another time where Peter had to be honest and say, I'm in the middle of an ocean. I can't do this alone. God, I need you. And again, it was a very humbling thing to be honest and to be like, okay, I don't trust God. Like, I can't do this. And the friend would say, okay, but I got you. So we're going to get up and I'm going to dust you off and I'm going to show you how to do it. Well, probably less dust off, more like dry off. And then thirdly, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, and Jesus told Peter to put his sword away. Jesus, I'm just trying to protect you. No, I want you to trust me, but I'm trying to protect you. And he had to have this small little moment of honesty with himself to where he's like, I'm doing it my way, not his way. And it made the difference for him to be able to go to that cross and die for all of our sins. Honesty does things. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. And that's all I have for you this evening.